And he is, and that's good news. He's Lord of your life and mine. And he's Lord of the giants that you and I are going to face, because last week we addressed the question, what is the purpose of our lives? And Jesus offered his answer, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto us. And we made the challenge, go out and find out at least one place where you want to tackle a new frontier of the kingdom. Where do you want to invest your life? Where do you want to stop chasing trivial things and put the kingdom first? And some of us are doing that, and we immediately find that giants, obstacles are there, caused by the evil in the world. Because, you see, the evil forces do not want us to break out of our little stage of uselessness for the kingdom, where we simply come to church and go home and never apply our faith during the week. And the first time that we do, we'll face opposition. Last week I told you mine. My cutting edge this year is to let you pray with me as I preach, so I can conquer that old giant that I face here every Sunday morning, needing your help and prayers even for the spreading of the Word of God. And I feel as I struggle in front of you, you will be free to struggle out there. And together we're going to defeat these guys. A venture that Israel did after 40 years of wasting their time. And I guess what we're saying is we don't want to waste 40 years wandering around in the wilderness when we can go to the promised land. With that in mind, let's seek God as we go into this sermon. Our Father, we already know you're here this hour. You've spoken to us through the prayers, through the music. We've sensed your presence here. There's a feeling. And now I pray you'll touch each person and you'll touch me. And use these moments for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm convinced that a major barrier to our growth and effectiveness as disciples of Jesus is fear. Many of us habitually build molehills into mountains. We cross tomorrow's bridges hundreds of times before we get there. And if you're like me, we're capable of building scenarios of disaster over and over again out of a given set of evidence, disasters that never come. But we waste so much energy worrying that they will come. So for those afflicted with fear, I'm suggesting that as one step in putting first the kingdom of God this year, we're going to launch an offensive against this enemy, so that we will become free to go all out for God in spite of the scary costs that are involved in that decision. Consider what Scripture teaches about defeating fear. I at least want to give you three tools to work with this week. First, defeating fear is related to trusting God, something obvious, but it's a fact which raises questions for you and me. Do we really believe our Heavenly Father is more powerful than the giants that are blocking our way into the promised land of pursuing God's kingdom? Is your faith and mine big enough to create hope that God will intervene in our behalf to defeat those giants if we'll merely step out in faith and confront them? Israel chose not to believe God, and they stayed in the wilderness and missed the adventure of the promised land for 40 years. Joshua chose to trust God when confronted by an overwhelming enemy, and he received this assurance. Look there in Joshua 1:9. I'll have you flip back and forth in these passages. This was his message. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's the answer. That's the reward of trusting God, this assurance. For the Lord our God is with us wherever we go, or whatever we're called upon to do. Trusting God that he will intervene in our battle with giants provides the courage as a first step for defeating fear of going all out for the kingdom. A second biblical truth about defeating fear. Refusing to trust God has disastrous effects upon our lives. Our text describes how Israel was forced to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they chose to trust the faithless spies rather than the power of their God. They saw only giants in that promised land, all of the reasons why they couldn't win the battle. And the faithful few saw opportunities for God to display his miraculous power and deliverance in this situation. And they had a crossroads of choice, and they chose to run in fear. And as a result, the disastrous effect was they were driven back to the wilderness of uselessness for God. Now, in contrast, Caleb and Joshua, look at Numbers 13:30. Confronting the same giants, chose to trust God, and they said, "Let us go up at once and occupy the land, for we, with God's help, are well able to overcome it." Now, refusing to trust God when you and I confront scary situations will lead us to see all the reasons why we'll suffer defeat, why we shouldn't take the risk, and we'll be blinded to the possibilities of what God's miraculous intervention and power could do in that situation if we only had the power to or the faith to walk in. But after wandering 40 years in the wilderness, Israel learned too late God had already defeated that enemy. All they had to do was go and knock him over. They were there with the spies and the Rahab, the harlot. 40 years later, they heard what had been going on in the lives and minds of those giants that they had formerly feared. Look at Joshua 2:8 to 11. This, in a sense, was their enemy speaking. "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen on us. For we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no courage left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God is he who is God in heaven above and God of the earth below." Can you imagine how they would have felt having wandered in that desert for 40 years needlessly, hearing what was going on in the hearts of the people they feared? Now, I believe this truth holds for every scary situation you and I are called upon to confront this year if we go all out for kingdom business. And I don't know where God's going to call you, but I can promise the moment you step out, a giant will appear. Every giant defying kingdom business is ultimately under the authority of Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings. Every giant in your life today is a defeated enemy. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. I believe many of us are weary of being conquered by fear, tired of wandering in that wilderness of trivial pursuits, living with boredom, living with frustration, kind of tired of just coming to church, getting all the tools to go out and live boldly for God, and then Monday morning acting as if we didn't hear anything. And I believe that frustration is readying some of us to make this commitment to Jesus Christ. "Lord, in spite of my fear, I'm ready to seek your kingdom and your righteousness first, and I'm ready to pay the cost. I'm ready to do battle with the giants. I'm convinced the greatest enemy of all in my life would be to live a useless existence in an attempt to be safe and comfortable in what inevitably will prove to be a wilderness. Because anything less than pursuing the kingdom of God first, brothers and sisters, is a wilderness experience." I want to ask you, what giants are holding you in bondage today? Where did you step out last week and get knocked flat? Do you want to break free? God is saying, confront your giant in my name. Refuse to retreat, even if you get knocked down. And if truly our heart's desire is to pursue kingdom business first, I believe Jesus will either eliminate the giant we fear or control our fear in facing it, and he'll give us the power to knock the giant down. Remember, the greatest thing to fear is not the cost of doing kingdom business. The greatest thing to fear is using our life to play it safe, to spend our life in the wilderness of uselessness, to have a spiritually dead, earthly existence. I thank God for risks. I'm glad we can take them together. I'm excited of what might happen this year if you and I step out in that area where the Holy Spirit is pushing us. Refusing to trust God has disastrous effects upon your life and mine. Now here's a third great truth about conquering fear, perhaps the greatest of all. Once we choose to trust God, once we step out and face a giant, we're going to find that He is busy unfolding His divine plan for victories beyond our wildest dreams. Here is a lesson you and I have got to learn if we're going to put the kingdom first. Too often we're paralyzed in the face of evil because we tend to overestimate the power of evil and underestimate the power of God. I said that last week. I want to say it again this week. We have no business being in bondage to the forces of evil. Jesus has conquered them. We can be free if we want to walk out of our prison door. We are free to do battle with any giant standing in your way today that's keeping you from seeking first the kingdom. How long then are we going to continue collecting Bible knowledge, collecting skills for warfare with evil, and then run during the week with our tails between our legs? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of running. And I'm tired of getting ready for battle, but when the time comes, never fighting. You realize what an army this church can be if we can ever get it together and stop thinking the extent of our involvement for Jesus is coming to church and getting prepared. The time now is for battle. Out in the world where we can make a difference in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our companies, and on the campus. And I'm very excited about beginning to hear stories from you about where some giants are falling. And those stories are going to spread all over the church and encourage the rest of us who still have shaky knees. Again, I want to challenge you. Aren't you a little bit bored just kind of doing the routine things for God? In some areas, Paul Edwards stepped out 4 years ago. Aren't you ready to try something that's scary to death and just put one foot on that plank and see if it'll hold? It will. You can win. You don't have to stay in the wilderness. My wife and I faced a small test of this truth last week. Our oldest daughter left for college, no longer to live in a dorm, but in an apartment. But she got there and found that her roommate got married, her intended apartment was a cockroach-ridden disaster, and that no room remained in the inn or the dormitories. And so her first day at college, she calls with the bottom line message, "Dad, Mom, I don't have any place to live." Terrific, you know. As parents, we had decided to put her on her own this summer and leave her to plan these things out, to make the preparations, and we thought she had it all in hand. And the whole thing fell to pieces. Well, she called, and my counsel to her was to turn the problem over to the Lord in prayer, check again at the office for an unexpected opening the next day, and be confident that between her common sense efforts and the Lord's care, her problem would be solved. Now, I sounded very together over the phone. Just as I sound very together up here while I'm preaching sometimes. But I put down the phone and Med and I went into our agony of, when will that girl grow up? Why didn't she check? You know, the whole scene, apparently you've had some of those scenarios. Anyway, 24 hours later she called to tell us she had found a beautiful, newly decorated apartment, which, by the way, had just been vacated by James Dobson's daughter, who decided the last minute she didn't want to come to that college, and she had beautifully prepared this apartment for her year. Her first choice roommate suddenly was available to move in with her with furniture. And so her remark was, "Dad, you must have been praying." And my remark to her was, "No, you were praying. And you took responsibility for this. You had a giant and God defeated it." Well, my point for us is, last year I would have churned and struggled. I would have even jumped on a plane down there to save my daughter. But this time, rather than react in fear, when a mini giant raised its head, I turned my daughter and her problem over to the Lord. And she had the privilege of learning to trust God and work to solve her own problem without her dad around. I had the privilege of learning to trust God for every giant, big and small, that I'm going to face this year. Because with God's help, that's how I want to start facing the crises of life. Not as a spiritual orphan who has to handle everything with my energy, but as a child of God in whom are vested the very energy of the universe through my Heavenly Father, living in the perspective that with God I can't lose. And the only giants that I'm going to be defeated by are the ones that are going to be for my good. What a perspective to live with, my friends. I want to apply, and I want you to apply, these lessons about fear as we go out and face the giants we will face if we dare to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Two quick footnotes about fear. I don't believe trusting God necessarily eliminates fear. Fear is not a sin, but it can be a barrier against ever finding God's best. Sometimes we fear because of emotional illness over which we have no control. I do know trusting God has helped me cope with my fear and win victories over giants which otherwise would have defeated me. The fear didn't go away, but I won the victory. I'm winning one this morning. Don't feel that if you still have fear, you're sinning or failing. The issue is, what are the results of you acting in spite of your fear? Most heroes of the faith I know are not superstars of courage without fear. They're just ordinary people who've decided to trust God in spite of their fear, to trust God's power, and therefore they're willing to attempt anything, even the impossible, because God has laid it upon their heart to take some risks, and they're not afraid to fail. Second footnote, giants are real, and evil and danger do exist. However, what is a giant for one may not be for another. And this is where I want to call us to gentleness. I believe we must be gentle and understanding with each other when it comes to fear. For one stricken with phobias, and I know of at least 15 people in our church, just to sit through a crowded church service this morning is a major victory because you want to run out that door. Crowds frighten you to death. And to have made it here is to have conquered a giant. We congratulate you. We don't criticize you just because we're not afraid of the same thing. For another, discovering courage to go on after a divorce or a death is a victory over fear. For another, it might be the taking of one's Christian ethics into a business situation and risk criticism or a loss of profits or even a loss of a job. And we want to stand with you, men and women, who are daring to do that. For a student, it might be staying honest and faithful in studies when everyone else seems more intelligent or are taking dishonest shortcuts to get the almighty grades. All of us have different giants. For some Christians, daring to get involved in human need and touch the poor is a very scary step. We don't like dirty people. We're frightened of those neighborhoods, and it's scary even having the thought of going and getting involved there. And so goes the list. Giants are real, but all of our giants are different. And we need to have compassion here in this congregation of supporting each other in what we might call an irrational fear. There's no such thing as an irrational fear. It's just because I don't fear it doesn't mean it's real. So we enter a new church year. My prayer is that all of us are going to defeat giants by allowing our trust in God to defeat our fear. I pray in the months ahead the character of our eternal souls through this discipline will be more carefully and accurately carved into the image of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I've been thinking a lot this week. I get excited when I think about how many giants this congregation is going to knock down this year and the impact on this area that knocking down those giants might have. The victories that will be won, the glory God will receive when finally His people come alive from their learning and go out in the world to live it out, no matter what the cost. Let me give you just three verses from the psalmist to take home with you on the issue of fear. The psalmist was a man after God's own heart. I read him constantly because he's so like, I'm so like him, or he's like me, or he's like us. He's so human. One moment he's up there trusting God and nothing's going to make him afraid, and the next moment he's down in the pits. Listen to him. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and I say, like we do during the year, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I'd fly away and be at rest in Palm Springs or Catalina or something. Yea, I'd wander afar, I'd lodge in the wilderness, I would haste to find me a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. God, I'm tired of this battle, I want to run away from it. But note what he did. I call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and I moan, and he will hear my voice. What a personal relationship David had with God. They were buddies. And I say that with reverence. He was a father to David. David could moan in front of him. He could be honest. God will deliver my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. And then this beautiful one from the 56th Psalm. When I am afraid, I put my trust in thee, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust without a fear. What can flesh do to me? Brothers and sisters, as we go all out for the kingdom of God this year, I say, what can flesh do to us? The gates of hell can't prevail against us. And the only thing to fear is staying in our wilderness of unbelief. That I fear. And this is the year together we cross that old Jordan, knock down those walls of Jericho, and tell the world Jesus Christ is alive and makes a difference in those who will recklessly trust him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I share this with you. Amen.